Good evening. So it was a hot, steamy afternoon, Southwest Florida, 1990s. I was standing in the main treatment room of my orthodontic office, and my staff and I were getting ready for a busy after-school rush. Every day at 2:17, the local high school right across the street would let out, but nobody had to look at a watch in our office because by 2:20, the foundation of our building was absolutely shaking from the boom, boom, boom of those subwoofers as the kids' cars snaked out of the parking lot. And by 2:30, they were streaming into our office. Now, this was in the 1990s, and these were teenagers of every size and shape. We had the goths, we had the punks, we had the jocks and the cheerleaders, the nerds, the preppies, the surfers. And it was a small town, so most of these kids were like family to us. I sat down to start looking at my first patient, and I felt a tug at my sleeve. It was my lead assistant, Jill. Now, Jill was wearing a mask, but I could see something in her eyes I had never seen before. She was angry and upset. I finished what I was doing, and I stood up, and she whispered in my ear. She said, "Doc, it's Paul. He's taken his braces off." So I said, "You mean he's broken some more of his braces?" She said, "No, he's taken all of his braces off." So this was a first. Now, Paul was a problem patient, obviously. Now, Paul was a skater, also known as a skateboarder. Now, in Southwest Florida, the skaters are not known for rule following. As I went to go take a look at Paul, he was wearing his skater's uniform of dark black pants, a hoodie, and a wool cap pulled right to his eyes. Now, keep in mind, it's in the mid-90s with about 98% humidity. So as I sat down, Paul was giving off what my southern assistants used to call skater stank. That's a mix of teenage boy with subtle hints of tobacco and a little bit of Mountain Dew. That was their drink. So I took a look at Paul, and then I raised his chair, and without another word, I just had him follow me into my office. Now, I had a little private office off the main treatment room with a big plate glass window. And as we sat in that office, we could both feel the eyes of my six assistants who were waiting to see their normally mild-mannered doctor kick some skater butt. Paul was sitting across from me, his legs splayed out, staring at something on the ceiling. And I sat there at my desk, and I sat forward, and I said, "Paul, I've been doing this for a long time. That is the cleanest brace removal job I've ever seen." I said, "Now, I just have a minute or two. You have to tell me how you did that." So the kid took a look at me, looking for signs of sarcasm, but honestly, there wasn't any. I was being completely honest with him. So he started off, he said, "Look, I told you I didn't want these things." And I said, "Look, we know. I remember that day when you came in." But we both knew his mom was a tough cookie, and she wasn't going to let him out of that office without braces. So then he said, "Well, I've been watching you guys take these things off." So I started with a needle-nose plier. And that made perfect sense because we used something very similar to that. Of course, ours was sterile and clean, but hey. But now Paul was relaxed and the two of us were like colleagues discussing a difficult case in my office. And he said, "Yeah, it took me about 10 minutes to get these things off. And then I had a lot of glue on my teeth. I didn't know what to do." He said, "But my dad's a woodworker. So I went out in the garage, and he's got a Dremel and these little tiny sandpaper discs. Well, if you don't know, a Dremel is an electric hand piece. They're wonderful tools. You can buy them at Lowe's or Home Depot. But I knew exactly what he was talking about. So he went on. He said, yeah, I use these discs. I started with the fine. Then I went to the extra fine and the ultra fine. And then I was rinsing my mouth out with water. And pretty soon, it was smooth. So, I mean, I was pretty surprised. I said, Paul, well, you're really, really good at this. I hope you'll come back in someday and let me finish the treatment. So I took him back out to the operatory. This time I whispered in Jill's ear and I said, finish cleaning him up and then order some sandpaper discs. I want you to get fine, ultra fine, and extra fine. And from that time, we started using these crazy discs, and they worked phenomenally well. 2 years later, Paul came back in. He let me finish his treatment. And like most of my patients, he kind of faded from my memory until another hot, steamy afternoon about 8 years later. I was at home on a Friday afternoon. My wife and I were getting ready to entertain some out-of-town guests. And as luck would have it, our air conditioning had conked out. So we called our usual air conditioning repair place, and about an hour later, the doorbell rang, and there was Paul. I barely recognized him. He'd gotten a lot taller and filled out, but he still had that wool hat on, and he still kind of smelled of cigarettes and Mountain Dew. But he shook my hand, and he smiled, and he said he was doing really well. He had finished first in his class at the VOTEC, and he had this great job. They had just started letting him go out on his own, doing these air conditioning repairs. He and his girlfriend were renting a house together, talking about getting married. And he must have seen me look at my watch, and he said, oh, Doc, let me just go get my stuff. I'll get you up and running. So he took a few steps back to the truck, but he must have seen something in my eyes, maybe some hint of doubt, because he turned back to me, and he said, Doc, don't you remember? You were the first grown-up to ever tell me I was good at something. Then he tapped his tool belt and he said, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'm really good at this. And he was. Thank you.